There are two readings this morning. The first one is from Revelation 21, verses 1 to 4, the New Jerusalem. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." This is the word of the Lord. And then the second reading from Revelation 22, verses 1 to 5. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign for ever and ever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Janet. Well, what a reading. It's a delight to begin our Advent series today. And, you know, as I said in the children's slot, that when we do Advent well, that brings a joy that is multiplied. But it also is just a good discipline in general. And it's a discipline that produces in us deep faith and real hope. And that hope is begun in the arrival of Jesus. It continues today and it will be brought to completion at the end of days, as our two readings have just shown us. And so for those who weren't there at our service last week in Warning Lid, I just did a little intro as to what we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks. But we're going to be looking at four titles. I don't know if that, oh great, it's up there. We're looking at this prophecy in Isaiah, and it was written 700 years before Jesus came, and it gives four different titles to this promised baby. It's got so much in one short verse, so I thought we'd take our time with it. And each week we're going to look at one of these titles. So Jesus is this longed-for king who will set things right, who will be the wonderful counselor, the everlasting father, the mighty God, and the Prince of Peace. And so today I'm going to talk about what it means that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And well, first of all, as Prince of Peace, it means that he is the true source of peace. It's a peace that's found through his reconciling work between God and us, and between us and then others. But the way the Bible understands peace is quite different to us. I wonder what comes to mind when you hear the word peace or peaceful. I think it's often a quiet scene of some description, sort of a green space, a wide open beach, that cup of tea when you get in from work and you finally have a moment to yourself. Or it's, you know, a time away from conflict. We often talk about nations having a time of peace. But the peace spoken about in the Bible, called shalom, is a deeper sense. It carries a kind of meaning of completeness or wholeness. It suggests that everything is in its correct or proper place, or is in a position in which it can flourish and thrive. And importantly, shalom is a corporate endeavor. It doesn't work if one part is missing or one part is out of balance. Shalom is when everything is aligned and restored to God's purposes and ways. And now this was the job of Israel's kings throughout the Old Testament, was to cultivate shalom in their communities. And we know from studying the Old Testament that didn't always work. Those kings were very human and it didn't go to plan. And Isaiah's prophecy speaks into that context of failed kings and says, don't worry, a king will come who will be able to produce true shalom. And his shalom will have no end. It won't be able to be broken or shaken. And it won't be like any shalom any earthly king could have offered to you. And so in order to understand how Jesus brings this peace, we need to go back quite a long way, back to Genesis, where we see that God created the world in true and perfect peace, in true shalom. Everything was flourishing in the Garden of Eden. The people had Jesus, had God with them. He was present with them. But sin, death, and sadness entered the world through human action, through the rebellion of the first humans, who disrupted this balance of shalom in God's world. But thankfully, at Christmas, God set in motion a rescue plan. He reached into the world in the form of Jesus and sent his peace personified to correct the balance, to deal with the disruption. And so God offered his restoration and redemption to all humankind through Jesus and the promise of total peace in the life to come. And Jesus effected this peace through his blood on the cross. He abolished sin and death that had entered the world, and he brought total reconciliation between heaven and earth. And in order to know what this peace is like, Revelation 21 and 22 are a great place to go. They paint a vivid picture of what heaven will be like, the place where God's total peace will be restored, where there will be wholeness and all things will be aligned to God's ways and purposes, much as it was in Eden. It's life the way God created it to be. We're told that the old order of things will pass away, the disruption of death and evil will be removed from the cosmic order in order to make way for the new order that God is bringing in, where Christ will live forever with his bride, the people he has redeemed, us. And in this world, sin, suffering, and death are forever banished. Revelation 21 paints a picture of intimacy with God. We're told we're his bride and that he dwells with us. This is Emmanuel in its fullness. It's very festive, although it's not usually a typical reading. But it says that we are his people and he will be our God. There's total unity there. And in that brings no tears, no mourning, no pain. I hope, like me, hearing this makes you long for this picture of perfect peace with God. We can't even imagine a world that looks like that. That's our deepest longing, is for a world where there is no pain, no suffering, no tears, no separation with God. And as we capture this longing, we can imagine what it was like for those people before Jesus came who longed for centuries for their Messiah, for the one that God said he would send, who would set things right. And they received him. And we're promised that we will receive this in the future. And so then in chapter 22 of Revelation, the vision of heaven continues and it echoes imagery from Ezekiel's vision of the future glorious temple. The water of life is flowing out from God's presence and reaching all people. It brings nourishment and sustenance to them. And there are trees that bear fruit and leaves for the healing of the nations. How we long for the healing of the nations. You know, just before the service, we were talking about some of the conflicts going on in the world and how we long for healing of those conflicts, of those wounds in our world. And again, in chapter 22, God is at the heart of this life, in the heart of this community, in the heavenly city and garden. He is so present to them. And darkness too is abolished. There's no more night. God is their light. And this is the picture of the heavenly reality that we need to hold on to when life is difficult. It's the picture of the heavenly reality that we need to hold on to when we watch the news or we see the state of the world. And it's the picture of the heavenly reality that we need to hold on to when we're trying to live the Christian life and it might feel hard and you have sin that weighs you down. And you're seeking to be Christ's light in a world that can sometimes be hostile. And you're seeking to find the courage to share the good news with others. This is the picture that we need to hold in our minds and our hearts. to encourage us and spur us on. And significantly, in verse 3, it says that there will be no more curse. And this is talking about the curse back in Genesis 3, where Adam and Eve rebelled and sin and death entered the world and brought this first disruption to the shalom that God had created in Eden. Jesus came to overturn this curse. And it's true, we still see the curse at work in this life. We still see death. We still see sin. We still see pain. But we know that there is a promise that one day that is fully overturned and those things will be no more, that the victory is entirely God's. And so as we look at these two final chapters of the Bible, we can see that in Genesis, the story begins with God in eternal joy in the garden with Adam and Eve, and it ends with God in eternal joy with all his people in a garden. But today we live in this messy middle bit. And when we experience suffering, when we experience the death of those we love, when we see horrible things going on in the world, it feels like a violation. It feels wrong in our guts. We know deep down it's not the way the world is meant to be and that there has to be a better way. And that's because we're made for peace with God. This idea of shalom is hardwired into us. We're made for the peace that God has created. Made to have perfect intimacy with God, without barrier and without shame, just as Adam and Eve had walking in the garden with the Lord. We're designed to be able to walk in the garden with our Lord as well, our Maker who knows us inside out and loves us completely. And so we can be people who carry hope, who carry great faith, because we believe in a Jesus who is making all things new. We believe that shalom came again at Christmas, that the balance was restored, and that that shalom lives in us, and that a complete shalom is coming in the resurrected life. And so as we live in the messy middle, what does the Prince of Peace offer to us today? And so there's three practical things that God offers to us. One is that Jesus brings peace to our minds and our inner lives. Knowing Jesus brings peace where we might have worry or anxiety. Jesus asks us to cast all our burdens on him, to pray for him for everything. There is nothing you can't take to God. And he declares his peace over his people at his resurrection. He says, "Peace be upon you." And we remember that as we say that every Sunday together as well. And the second is that Jesus helps us to make peace with others. As we receive God's forgiveness for ourselves, we are enabled to forgive others. God loves reconciliation. He loves bringing us to him, and he loves to see us making peace with one another, fixing broken relationships. And we're to be agents of shalom in our communities, people who bring about peace, who want to bring back right order to things. Working for the wholeness of others. And today we're thinking about, in the toy service, we're bringing gifts to help support family support work. And that is a small way of saying, actually, this is not the way the world is meant to be. It's not right that there are some children that go without. And we are working, because of our Christian faith, to bring a piece of shalom, to restore some balance there, to give what we can. And lastly, Jesus promises us peace for eternity. We have total assurance of peace with God if we put our trust in him. And we have assurance of unchanging forgiveness from him, whatever we may have done. There is no person in the world who is outside the reach of God's forgiveness. And because of this total assurance, we need not fear death, because we know where we're going. We're headed towards that beautiful picture in Revelation 21 and 22. And when we see injustice and horror in the world, we can have hope that God brings the ultimate justice and that he will make all things new. And so to close, I'd love to pray for us that we receive this peace this morning in whichever way we need to receive it today, and that we know Jesus as our Prince of Peace. Oh Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the Prince of Peace. You are the one who came to restore the balance, to bring your true shalom to all the world. Thank you that we have tasted of your peace, and we pray now that you would fill us afresh with a sense of your peace, with the knowledge of your presence with us, with the knowledge that you are in charge and we can trust you with all things. We pray that you would help us to lay down anything that we worry about or are anxious about at your feet. Thank you that you take it all. Come and be God with us now, we pray. Amen.